I do believe that all of us woke up this morning with special prayers in our hearts and in our lives. Things that we are hoping for, things we are praying for, aware that we cannot go into the new year, but on God's hand. Why don't we just take a few moments for quiet prayer, and each and every one of us have time to just speak to God about your hopes and needs for this new year. Our God and Father, You have been our help in ages past. From the dawning of our days through the advancing of our years, You are our hope for years to come. On this special day, as we step into a yet unknown year, we face the future with the need and the desire to sense Your presence every step of the way. We now pray for all our people, and we bring before You those who are ill, desperate, and in need of Your comforting and healing presence in their lives. We pray for those who grieve, those in troubled relationships, and those facing an uncertain future. Our God, in and through Jesus Christ our Lord, we lean on Your assurance. You assured us, I am with you until the end of time. Let Your light shine through our times of darkness, of despair, of death. Let Your Spirit work among us to heal us and move us toward new life and new beginnings. We are but clay in Your hands. You've placed a treasure deep inside each of us. A moment of insight. A touch of compassion. A sense of Your unending love. You gave us the precious gift of caring for each other, of guarding each other's light, and to proclaim the wonder of Your love and Your grace. For now, the beginning of 2012, we recommit and entrust to You the earthen vessels of our lives. Center us, shape us, form us, transform us into new creations. Save us from the death of everything grown old, cold, and repetitious. Lead us to experience new life through dying to old ways and patterns that destroy rather than build. Give us life in Jesus Christ. Lead us, guide us, and equip us to reflect Your presence, Your light, and Your love in this world. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.
Our first reading today is from Galatians verses 4 through 7. But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent His Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of law, so that He might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you are also an heir with complete access to the inheritance.
Our second scripture reading is really a continuation of what we heard in our first reading, one of rejoicing, one of cherishing the fact that we indeed belong to God, saved through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's read from Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. And what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved Son. And because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. Here ends our scripture reading. So you see, Paul's message to the Ephesians is really a message not only to him, to them, but to all of us. He says, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. Can't help it, but it makes one feel good to be in church today. What a great way to begin a new year. What more do we need? What more can we possibly wish for? We have the assurance. We enter 2012 with the assurance through Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. And let nobody try to tell me otherwise. See, all things are made new, and therefore we can sing as God's people, it is well with my soul. But after all this rejoicing, I think that our minds tend to shift to the realities of 2012 facing us as from today. Someone already put it this way, said, well, I'm overweight, I'm exhausted, and the house is in a mess. All these celebrations cannot go on forever. Time to go on a diet, get on a budget, get back to work, and pack up all these ornaments. And why is it that all the Christmas decorations that looked so lovely over Christmas suddenly look so almost tacky on January the 1st. Indeed, Christmas is behind us. A new year has begun. And that's where the month of January got its name from. January is named after a Roman god called Janus, J-A-N-U-S. Now, that Roman god was described as a two-faced being, with each face facing the opposite direction. Janus, January, is a hinge time, a vantage point from which we can still see back into the past year and yet can also face forward and look expectantly at the year that lies ahead. Well, I came across a story told by a Vietnamese Buddhist monk, and I can assure you it's just a made-up story, but when I read it, I thought that it seems to make so much sense on a day like this. During the war, a young Vietnamese woman was killed. She left behind her husband and her young son. And the husband, needing to provide for himself and the boy, traveled far and wide looking for odd jobs. And often he left the child with neighbors. And after one especially long trip looking for work, the man returned and, to his horror, found that his village was demolished and all his neighbors gone. And searching through the rubble of his house, he found scattered some small bones. He was sure that these were the remains of his beloved son. So what did this father do? He wrapped the bones in cloth and carried it with him from that moment on wherever he went. And then the story continues, and many years passed, and late one night, the old man heard knocking on his door. And he called out, "Who's there?" And the answer came, "It's your son. My kidnapper set me free, and I've spent many years trying to find you." And immediately the old man yelled, "You are lying. My son is dead. Leave me alone. Go away." And he would not open the door under any circumstances. So the pounding on his door continued for a while, and then finally it stopped. Finally, the young man gave up and left. And the old man, says the story, never found happiness. And he lost his son, who was still living, because he was determined to rather hold on to the bones of the past. And that makes the message clear. If he only believed the good news that his son was alive, his life would have changed for the better. Now, this is the first Sunday of a new year. It's a great day for letting go of the bones of the past and to embrace the new and yet unknown future. And the possibilities of the future calls us to look forward, forward indeed. And the good news for us at the beginning of this year is the message from Scripture, once again to be reminded that God has set us free. Free from the bones of the past. And now hear the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, Scripture says, we're a free people. We are free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. Brother, sister in Christ, there are no deadlier bones to hold on to than the bones of guilt, personal guilt. Thinking of the wrongs we have done in the past, and often those thoughts is a primary source and a reason why we feel so unworthy, so very unworthy. Forgetting the message, in Christ we have the assurance we are forgiven. We are God's people. We are forgiven. We are given another chance. You know, and we started with a fable, just a story. But now we are staring the naked truth in the face. Sometimes, the hardest person to forgive in your life is not someone else, but yourself. We are set free in Christ. We are accepted and renewed through Christ. We are set free when we realize, when we begin to possess the fact that we are not trapped by what has happened to us in the past. Many of us get stuck because we remember and relive old painful memories. We get stuck. And our lives get paralyzed by old bones. Remember the Buddhist monk story? Do you, on this first Sunday of the new year, first day, do you hear the pounding on the door, urging you, reminding you, telling you that you need no longer hold on to the old bones of the past, that you are set free, that you can let go. This is a time of new beginning. Be free from the bones of the past. The message of this day is, in Christ, we are set free to begin anew. And that is the message. That is also the invitation of the prepared table this very morning. Let go of the old bones. Embrace new life in Christ. A new beginning. Claim your liberty to begin anew. And therefore, the privilege of this moment to tell God's people, this table is prepared not for anyone else, but for me and for you, for each and every one of us. We live out of God's forgiveness. Our God speaking to us, even this morning, let go. Let go of the old bones of the past. See, I have made everything new. Come now. Come now. The table of love and forgiveness is prepared for each, for every one of us. Amen.